there is this whole missed moment that has been forgotten about, which is that physicality and that moment as soon as the customer checks out to the moment they open it and the moment they're experiencing that product in the real world has been completely forgotten about. That's actually where the loyalty begins. And then the other channels like email and SMS and getting them into those channels is actually where it's maintained. But brands aren't utilizing that key starting point as well as they should be.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focused podcast. If you're not familiar, well, every five episodes, we switch our focus to a different marketing method. It could be email or SEO or Facebook ads. And each episode, we release a new one every Wednesday. I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. We're going to get into today's topic in a moment. First off, though, would you like to be a podcast star? I'm chatting to today's guest because she filled in our guest application form to let me know she'd love to share these tactics with all of you. So if you've got a marketing tactic or strategy you would love to share with the Keep Optimizing audience, please do let us know about it and put your hat in the ring at keepopt.com/guest. That's keepopt.com/guest. Maybe I'll be chatting to you soon. Okay, so this is the final episode in this year's dive into customer retention. A frequent theme throughout this series has been the importance of what you do to turn a one-time buyer into a multi-time buyer, with, I think, every guest pointing out how important it is to act fast. So I'm really pleased we're wrapping up the series into a dive with what you can do immediately post-purchase. Yes, we are going to be heavily getting into unboxing. We're also going to be talking about between purchase and delivery and a little bit about post-delivery. We're going to be talking a lot about the parcel, but we'll also be talking about other messages and how you integrate that into your other marketing too. Really great to have Molly on to talk about all of this. Do make sure you listen right to the end of the episode, because at the end, my guests will be sharing some quickfire insider tips to help you maximize the performance of your marketing. And then I'll be sharing my own take on it all and giving you a couple of other ideas for free ways you can continue to learn. So stay tuned to the end. Are you drowning in retention tactics and Klaviyo flows, but still can't prove with certainty which ones actually bring customers back? You are suffering from the retention clarity gap. Brands like Health, Heights, and Kilo Health trust Yocto to fix it. Yocto help you go from "we think it's working" to "we know it's working," so you can finally prove your impact. Head to keepopt.com/Yocto to get a personalized retention playbook that actually makes sense to your execs. That's keepopt.com/Yocto. In this episode, I'm chatting with customer retention expert Molly Woolnarai. Molly is the Senior Marketing Manager at post-purchase specialist Penny Black. For over 6 years, she's been focused on helping D2C brands find the best ways to build customer lifetime value and long-term sustainable revenue. Hello, Molly.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me, Chloe. I'm excited.
Awesome to have you on the show. You have so much experience in this customer retention world, but how did you end up in the customer retention world?
Well, I could go back a long, long way to being a kid and do the kind of, oh, it's been in my blood, but genuinely actually kind of has. I grew up in a family of retailers, and my parents had an independent shop in the lovely town of Cheltenham. And I basically grew up understanding how important it is to really take care of your customers, really understand who they are, what they love to buy, and get them to come back time and time again. So it's kind of in my blood from that age. But then when you look at it on a professional level, I used to work agency side as a content writer and social media exec before being hired at Loyalty Lion, which is a loyalty program and referral platform. And there I ran the content strategy. So I was doing a lot of stuff about understanding customer loyalty, what motivates shoppers to buy again, understanding what makes a really strong retention program, and writing content and reports on that topic, which got me really into the nitty-gritty and the nerdy details of really what drives loyalty with customers today. And then 3 years ago, I joined Penny Black, and this is where we are taking that understanding of customer loyalty a little bit further and understanding how you can create loyalty moments in new and unexpected ways in the physical experience. So yeah, it's been a huge part of my career, understanding what's motivating people to buy again. And I find it incredibly interesting, particularly as consumer behaviors change literally every 6 months, it seems.
So we've put together and chosen to do customer retention at this point in time as our topic, because it feels like everybody's getting really into customer retention at the moment. Mostly, I end up talking to people on our side of the coin rather than the retailers, the ones who create the noise. So let's do a quick sense check here, because you talk to a lot of retailers about this. Is it just us as an industry going, you should be doing customer retention? Or are the brands and the retailers really switching their focus to customer retention at the moment? Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I feel like the rhetoric of retention is more important than acquisition has been around probably the whole time I was at Loyalty Lion and now at Penny Black. So that's like 6 years. So it is quite easy to be quite skeptical of that topic. And you're like, oh, I've been hearing this every bloody January that this is something we need to focus on. So I can understand the skepticism, but what we're seeing and what I think has been a pivot over last year into this year specifically is actually differentiation in the retention methods. So I think it's become commonplace that everyone understands retention is just as important. Well, it's cheaper than acquisition. It's the keys to sustainable growth. And acquisition is going crazy in terms of expenses, Facebook ads, everything is increasingly hard for brands to manage, especially if they have a very high cost of goods or high shipping costs. And you have ad acquisition in there, it feels like an unsustainable way to grow if you're only focusing on acquisition. Brands know that and they understand that retention is the best way to build lifetime value, sustainable revenue, all of that good stuff we talk about all the time. But I think what they're starting to realize is, okay, well, we're doing all these email flows, we're doing all these SMS flows that we're being told to do, but actually we're still not getting our comms seen or our channels aren't being as effective as they once were. And that's likely because everyone else is catching up. Everyone else is understanding that these retention channels are super important. And you've, on top of that, got limitations in email deliverability. Retargeting is getting really, really hard if you're retargeting your existing customers because of cookies and people not wanting to share their customer data. So I think the pivot's been more around how to retain your customers in a way that cuts through beyond what everyone else is doing, and particularly pivoting that towards connecting online and offline and how you are engaging with shoppers in that way. So it's not really an answer to your question specifically, but I do think retention is and has always been important, but now it's okay, now how do we go even further and make it so, so unique and memorable and exciting and engaging and just level up our competitors all the time? So I think it's had a new focus put upon it and put under a microscope again.
Totally get where you're coming from. And it's, as I've been recording the episodes in this mini series, if anyone's listened to all four of them so far, and I suspect this message will be coming out of this one as well, the one key theme that's come across everything is if you want to do well at customer retention, you've got to make the right immediately post-purchase impression. One of the guests said the first 14 days after purchase. I think all the guests have talked about getting the first, you know, the time span between money changing hands and object arriving right. There's real focus in the space on that immediate piece. And, you know, it's kind of like, no, it's not like this, but I can see the same impact having, you know, it's like if you're an email marketing specialist, you inevitably get asked, what day should I send my emails on? Correct answer, there isn't one, which is why this is not like customer retention, because the correct answer in customer retention is pay attention straight away. I am coming to a point, I promise you. But it occurs to me that listening to these five episodes, listening to retention experts, step one is let's make that initial period straight after purchasing right. And we know that, I mean, admittedly, that's going to be segmented across the marketplace because it depends on when someone places their order. Mm-hmm. But I think we all know from our own habits and from seeing payday spikes and Black Friday spikes and all the rest of it, if your credit card's in your hand, you're making multiple purchases. So there's more noise hitting the inbox, hitting those standard channels around that time period. You know, you can't be the one who stands out because you sent an email going, here's how to put up your tent. You know, it's becoming table stakes. I know you do a lot of work on helping people work out how to cut through that. So what's your go-to? Is it the message? Is it the method? Where do we go if we want to stand out in that maelstrom?
I agree. And this is something that's changed in my mentality quite a lot when moving to Penny Black, because you're right, every retention channel ultimately isn't actually where the loyalty journey begins. There is this whole missed moment that has been forgotten about, which is that physicality and that moment as soon as the customer checks out to the moment they open it and the moment they're experiencing that product in the real world has been completely forgotten about. And like you said, that's actually where the loyalty begins. And then the other channels like email and SMS and getting them into those channels is actually where it's maintained over, like you said, 6 to 12 months, and that customer loyalty is built. But brands aren't utilizing that key starting point as well as they should be. So this is where, yeah, we come in. It's all about optimizing that physical experience when your customers have 100% attention on you for the first time, and they're experiencing your product in the real world. And that 100% kind of engagement and all eyes on your product should be the main time that you're trying to convert customers to go back online. And for us, it's about making that moment memorable, trustworthy as well. You want to show that you're a brand worth trusting and engaging with, but also that your products, you know, your experience matches the quality of your products, because all too often you could have a really beautiful product, really strong product. The customer unboxes. I was actually speaking to my friend about this yesterday. She bought a dress for her 30th birthday and she was showing it to me. It's beautiful. And I asked her, how was the unboxing experience? And she essentially said, oh, well, you know, for the quality of the dress and what I paid for, I didn't really think it was an experience. And that there is a moment that's happened in her brain where she's going, well, maybe this brand doesn't really value me as much as I value them when I've put so much money behind their brand. So I think it's all about the experience and making that moment really memorable. It stands out. It makes the shopper feel like you know them on a personal level and that you really appreciate the fact that they've put money into your brand. You know, this customer's had a punt on you. That my friend, she's said, I'm going to trust this brand for my 30th birthday dress. And they really just want that feeling of reciprocal, I guess, love and value given back to them. And this takes me back to my point. I think the physical moment when they first unbox their order is the prime time to get their attention and really make them feel like they're loved and valued by you. I'm not too sure if that answers your question specifically, but I just think that there's just so much value in untouched, that untapped moment that brands should be using a little bit more, and then bring customers back online and use email, SMS to actually maintain that loyalty and keep the flywheel going over time.
I think you are answering my question.
Good.
completely. And you sparked a whole wave of stuff in my head, because it's nice. It's like, we know that scientists have proven that when someone's in the checkout, their heart rate goes up, they get more excited. And I think the emotional thing happens even more. I haven't seen the stats to anyone who wants the report on this. I have no idea if there are stats on this or not, but I cannot believe that the emotional potential of the unboxing moment isn't there. You know, it's the moment of the greatest nerves. Have I made the right decision in buying this product? Is it the right size? Is it going to be in one piece? All that kind of stuff's coming into play, which means there's a huge, like you said, there's a huge opportunity for reassurance. Now, back in the days when I worked brand side, and we are talking 20 years ago now, our tried and tested strategy was we put a catalogue in there. We were mail order companies. because that would drive more sales. You know, so we also know, tried and tested over decades in the catalog industry, that driving a sale at that point is really, really possible. Very, very possible to turn someone from one purchase into two purchases. Then in the intervening years of my 20 years in this industry, people have started doing like the handwritten note from somebody or the surprise free gift. It feels like, you know, the way technology has now evolved, we can take that another level and we can blend the slap a catalogue in it, get an order, you know, or the discount postcard together with some element of content and thanks. Is there a perfect mix? You know, should we be like 30% of our space is on the offer, 30% is on content, 30% is on saying something nice? Should we go all thanks? What's your take on that? I know, a really awful question.
Yeah, no, I think it varies, right? So what we allow brands to do is, yeah, like you said, take that moment that was always so static and analog and bring data into it, right? We're integrated with your Shopify store, your Klaviyo, and you can bring that data into what you're doing, and you can actually test this once analog channel, which is what's really, really, really cool about Penny Black, is we're making this physical moment something digital, and it's adjustable as you would an email campaign. When it comes to like a magic formula, we always recommend that you create campaigns, because you can create campaigns based on different cohorts or how the customer interacts. You create campaigns in the same way you would your email marketing, really. You have campaigns for new customers, and the goal there is to convert them from one purchase to two purchases. And as we know, once they make a second purchase, the likelihood they make 3, 4, 5, 6 increases. So you have a cohort of campaigns specifically for that. Then you'll have a cohort of campaigns for already loyal customers. So these will be customers who've bought 2 or 3 times. You want to embed that loyalty a little bit deeper. You want to make them an advocate for your brand. You want to make them complete kind of these loyalty building initiatives, like writing reviews or referring their friends. And then there's like a cohort of people who already love your brand and they've been buying with you for a really long time. So subscribers, for example, someone who's been a subscriber for a year, you have different content for them each time they shop. So when I say like a magic formula of content, I would say you kind of need magic formulas for each of the different cohorts. So discount campaigns, for example, or for those new customers, you want to make sure, truthfully, discounts do work for that cohort, right? Because they might have bought from you before and they want another discount. But in that instance, you want to make the discount motivate them to complete another loyalty building activity. So brands like True Classic, they use our inserts to promote to new customers their mobile app with a 10% discount if they sign up for the mobile app. And then it gets customers into that retention loop. When you look at like the design of a first-time customer insert, you need to make the QR code very clear. You want to make that journey very easy for them to scan the QR code, and that discount's automatically applied to their checkout and they go straight back online. You want to make the personalization very clear so they feel like you've put the time and energy into the insert. So you want to make the name very clear, or if you've personalized it based on the product they've bought, make that really clear so they can see that you've spent that time on the personalization. I would also say, yeah, branding, of course, top priority. Make sure they know, yeah, who you are and that you really care about them. And I'd say it's a combination of how you would design your emails and your other retention channels and just pulling that into an A6 format, really. And then when you look at like other campaigns you can run, so another favorite of mine is cross-sell campaigns, and these perform really, really well after discount campaigns. So they have around a 2.5% conversion rate, which is actually 5 or 6 times higher than what the conversion rate is on a post-purchase email. Like you said, it's you're getting their attention at that moment. So if you're showing them a cross-sell campaign of a personalized product that's similar to what they've just bought, they're more likely to convert. And with the cross-sell campaigns, you want to be really bold with your visuals. You want to be really clear on how the product that they've got in their hand, in their physical experience, connects to those products that you've printed or recommended on the insert. So we work with a Korean skincare brand called Yapoda. And once a customer buys one of their serums, they give them an insert that shows the benefit of the serums, and it's got a really beautifully annotated diagram of the serum and all the I don't know, peptides, vitamin C's, all the skincare terminology on it. But then on that insert, they've got a beautiful design that shows the product that they've bought alongside the recommended products and the next step in that skincare routine. So the shopper can really see, oh, right, okay, they know I've bought their vitamin C plumping, I don't know, serum. They're really giving me value in that unboxing experience and showing me very easily the related products. And then they're giving me a QR code. I literally just scan there and I can go straight to the site and buy that product. So I'd say with the unboxing experience, and particularly if you're going to do personalized inserts or gift notes or handwritten notes, you have to blend the personality of who you are and the brand of who you are alongside with strong call to actions and easy ways and make for them to go back online and make that journey absolutely seamless. It needs to feel, yeah, fluid and all combined and aligned with one another.
It's kind of brilliant how the segmentation potential we've got in our email marketing system or wherever else we're doing our customer segmentation, we can now bring into what goes into the box. So we can make sure it lines up. We're giving the right offers to the right person. They get the upsell or they get the discount or they get the leave a review, depending on where they are in their journey. And then also the whole QR code world enables us to actually track the impact and make it easy. So we've kind of got this whole marketing system all in one piece. The one, to me, I mean, I know I've said this to you before, Molly, it's like, to me, this is a no-brainer implementation. Pretty much for me, absolutely, once you've, if you've got the volume going through, this makes so much sense to tie in. The next place I go to though, with my marketing head on is, how do I then integrate that with the other channels? Because as I said earlier, what we've been talking about throughout the series is that whole from purchase to unboxing for 14 days, the unboxing happens on one of those days. So what's best practice for integrating what's in your personalized insert in the parcel with what happens post-purchase pre-arrival and what happens post-arrival? Are we putting the same thing in? Are we putting reminders, same graphics? Are we telling them to look out for something in the parcel? How much do we do? How little do we do? Or is it the marvelous marketing answer of it depends?
Well, it does depend. but if I were to start a brand tomorrow, maybe we start there, right? I would 100%, you always need confirmation, order confirmation emails, updates on where a customer's product is in the shipping journey. Is it who's delivering it? Is it Evri? Is it DPD? How many days is it until it arrives? So those emails from the checkout till the package arriving on the doorstep, I think are incredibly crucial. I mean, bonus points if you're texting people as well. I think that's really strong, because with texting in that moment, customers expect to hear from you through text in that moment. SMS is difficult a little bit later down the line when you are trying to get them in that kind of long-term retention space. That's harder, but this window here is a really strong time to text them and update. I think they'd appreciate that. Well, I know I would as a shopper. One thing I don't think enough brands do in that moment between checkout and the package arriving on the doorstep is using those confirmation emails and texts to bring shoppers back online or get them excited about their product or excited about what's to come. So if I was to start a brand tomorrow, I would use those emails to, build anticipation and excitement, maybe share articles or content about how the customer can use their product, maybe styling videos or ways that they can combine their lipstick with eyeshadow, whatever it is, and tease that in those confirmation emails. That kind of gets a buzz going. You could hint towards that there's something special waiting for you in the box if you wanted to. I mean, that would be top tier excitement, I would say. And then, in the box, you have set up the campaigns in Plenty Black and you know what they're going to be getting. Whether that's a thank you so much, welcome to our community, here's a video from the founder, to here's a personalized product recommendation. What we can do then as well is we integrate with Klaviyo as well. So what that means is any interaction that is being had with the insert in the unboxing experience is a data point that can be sent to Klaviyo. So that is any scans on the insert, whether the insert's been printed and actually added to the box, so you know if a customer's got that. And with knowing if a customer scans, you know if a customer doesn't scan. And the beauty of sending this data into Klaviyo then means that you can then go even deeper into your email segmentation and your flows and how you're personalizing them. So, for example, you can kind of use that integration to bridge what you know your customers experienced offline when they open their books back into how they engage with you online. So an ideal flow that I would set up if I'm setting up a store is I would have a flow that if a customer scanned the Penny Black insert in their packaging, but I know they didn't make a purchase, I would have an email flow that would say, "Hey Molly, hoped you liked the treat we gave you. What's blocking you? Here's how you could spend your 10% off," you know? And it's really taking that offline moment and bringing it online. And then you are building them into that loyalty loop and the ability to keep engaging them. If, for example, they scan and then purchase, you know then you have a data point, okay, well, this channel's working, right? We can keep putting more and more inserts into these unboxing experiences. So that's how I would set up that journey if I were to start an e-commerce store tomorrow. But really, like I said at the beginning, post-purchase and retention cut-through is vital. And these moments are underutilized. So let's use them to convert people and stand out beyond your competitors ultimately.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for that, Molly. You've given us a whole like workflow to work through, which I love. It's been great picking your brains about all of this. Listeners, remember to stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Molly's insider tips on customer retention and my suggestions for other ways we can help you improve things even further in your businesses. Founder to founder, are you really sure which of your retention efforts are driving repeat purchases? Or are you just hoping your Klaviyo flows and loyalty programs are doing their job? That's the retention clarity gap, and it's what's holding you back from real measurable growth. Founders at brands like Health and Heights trust Yocto to cut through the noise and show them exactly what's working. If you're ready to stop guessing and start scaling smarter, go to keepopt.com/Yocto to get a personalized retention playbook that actually makes sense. That's keepopt.com/Yocto. Okay, Molly, so far we've gone deep into what to do immediately post-purchase. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of customer retention. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with customer retention, which of course does include all those things you've already been telling us about. So Molly, are you ready for these?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start with newbie advice. Obviously, you've just given us your take on if you are starting a brand from scratch. So let's make this one, those who've already got a brand up and running, they're already embracing customer retention. If we've inspired them to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success? What's the key here?
So the key would be, remember that acquisition is a leaky bucket. So if it's a leaky bucket, what are you going to do to retain people? And what are you going to do immediately post-purchase in that immediate post-purchase moment? Like we said, it is the absolute prime time to capture the attention of new shoppers, resulting in more conversions. So like I said, the confirmation emails after the purchase need to be set up and using them as an opportunity to convert shoppers right from when they've purchased from you and capitalizing on that initial excitement and buying from you, and then use the excitement of the first physical experience, also known as the unboxing experience, to convert them again with inserts. So really capitalizing on those two spikes of excitement, get them to convert quickly, and then you have them for the long term to improve their lifetime value, customer retention.
Nice, like that. Okay, once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
So I would say keep using that unboxing experience, right? I'm gonna say it, I'm sorry. But you've got to remember this is the time where you have the most eyes on your product ever in your whole customer journey and the most eyes you have on your brand. So really, really capitalize on the unboxing experience and the packaging. So using it to get people back again. So what I would say is if you're starting with a discount campaign, fine, that's a very good base level campaign to get going, but then it's looking at what campaigns you can launch that build loyalty building activities. So for me, I would say I would dangle the carrot of all the potential things that they could get if they subscribe to your emails. So I would optimize your unboxing experience and I'd go, okay, rather than us just giving a discount and then we're kind of contributing to that leaky bucket, why don't we put an insert in that tells them if you sign up for our email newsletters, you get 10% off, and then you've got them in, you've captured them essentially into the email marketing world, and then you are able to keep hitting them with re-engagement emails and get them back to your store. So that's what I would say is, yeah, take it from just a discount channel into more loyalty building channel, and then and get them to engage with activities that have automatically contribute to the higher lifetime value ticking up. So yeah, email subscriptions, also just subscribing to your products, joining your loyalty program, all these activities that just automatically get them ticking along and shunting them gradually to future purchases.
Awesome. Okay. If someone listening wants to learn more, is there one cheap or free resource you would recommend?
So first, obviously, listen to this podcast, which you are. Chloe did tell me to promote something of our own, but I actually want to promote something else. As a solo marketer myself, I have found amazing comfort being part of communities and learning from other amazing marketers who have already done my job and already solved things that are my biggest challenge. So I'd recommend for any brands who are part of this podcast and who are listening to check out the Upworld community run by Lottie Unwin. They have events and webinars specifically for D2C retailers, mainly in the food and beverage space. But even as a B2B marketer, I've really enjoyed being part of the community and just learning from others. And I think ultimately for me, communities and listening to podcasts like this and learning from other experts is ultimately a shortcut to success. So I'd recommend using more resources like Chloe's and the Upworld community, to be honest.
Awesome. A couple of resources there. Thank you very much, Molly. Finally, it's crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
So the world is massively digital. And with it becoming more digital, it's becoming more and more impersonal every day. So in the next 6 to 12 months, I think brands are going to refocus their attention to making customer attention more traditional and personalized, like with handwritten notes and gift notes and personalized inserts to help build that loyalty. You know, it's become so big and messy and hard to really make those connections with people on a one-to-one level. So I just, over the next year, I'm very certain, and me personally as a consumer feels the same, I just want to feel connected to people. I don't want this digital lens over everything. So I really feel like this is where, yeah, the unboxing experience and making the physical experience really matter is gonna trump other classic digital channels. And, you know, I'm seeing it now in my job, to be honest. We can automate outbound and we can automate our sales email, which is great for efficiency, but actually where the value is of where we're going to get customers and where we're going to build relationships with brands is where we meet them, we speak to them, and we build that emotional connection in the real world and make them feel like we're part of their lives and they know our faces. So I think that's going to have to trickle down into D2C as well. And with that, I think the brands that will stand out who do that are the ones that unite their marketing teams with their back office operations teams to make them talk and work together to make that customer experience really work. You need to have a shared mentality of what makes a good customer experience and that everyone's working together to push you forwards to that physical, lovely, engaging moment.
awesome take on the future there. Thank you very much, Molly. Now, we are very nearly at the end of the show, so could you please let the listeners know where they can find out more about you and Penny Black?
Yes, so you can find me on LinkedIn. It's Molly with an IE. We'll know right. I won't spell to you because you'll be sat here for 5 more minutes. But if you just search Molly Penny Black, I'm sure you'll find me on LinkedIn. So feel free to add me there and chat away about anything customer retention or loyalty. I enjoy nerding out about it. And then you can find Penny Black also on LinkedIn. Make sure you put a space or on our website, which is www.pennyblack.io. And we have some resources and case studies on our website where you can find out more about how we've been working with brands.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Molly, for being part of our customer retention series. It's been awesome catching up with you. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
What a great way to wrap up our mini series on customer retention. My key takeaways from my chat with Molly. First off, that it was kind of implicit in what she was saying, but I'm going to pull it out and shout it at you, which is that the messaging you do in that key post-purchase unboxing experience zone is not just about buy again. It's about a whole host of other things, about getting people excited. It's about taking them on the journey of loyalty. It's about getting them into new channels, sales channels or marketing channels. There's a huge amount you can do there. And clearly, the benefit of personalized in-parcel inserts is when you start doing that segmentation. Yes, you'll see an uplift if you whack the same similar thing in everybody's, but it's when you start identifying those segments, identifying what their next step should be and taking them on that journey, that's when it really, really starts to sing. So lovely to get all those insights from Molly. You can get the full transcript of the episode, our notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. You can also use our direct episode short link. That's keepopt.com/the number of this episode. Put that in the URL bar and you'll go straight to the right page on the website. When you get to the website, you know what I'm going to say, you can join our email list so you don't miss out on any of the things I share to help you improve your business. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. That's all 5 of our episodes on this brand new thread of customer retention now live. Think of it as your Get Me Up to Date on Customer Retention Fast masterclass. So please do have a listen to them all. You can either scroll up your podcast feed to the most recent episodes or use the short link keepopt.com/retention, where you will find all our customer retention content on the website, including the episodes about it that we've done before this first ever guaranteed customer retention series that we've just been doing. What's coming up next? Well, our next masterclass topic is affiliates and influencers. Yes, we're combining all those great partnership strategies into one mega series. You can catch our threads on those so far at keepopt.com/partnerships. And make sure you tune in next Wednesday to catch the start of our new dive into all of that. If you know someone who's particularly interested in customer retention or affiliates or influencers, please do let them know we're covering all this great stuff because this show exists to help you and them improve your marketing. Have a great week and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Fix your retention clarity gap now. Get your personalized retention playbook at keepopt.com/yocto.